Hello, this is Rabbi David Rosenbaum of Young Israel Shomer Emunah in Silver Spring, Maryland. Thank you for joining us for our fifth installment of Chametz on Pesach. One more Bedikah question before we move on to other things. Heaven forbid, it shouldn't be for me, shouldn't be for anyone listening to this recording. But let's say a person does the Bedikah and they have their 10 pieces of Chametz and they come Erev Pesach morning and there's only 9 pieces there. One piece disappeared. Or to say it differently, let's say a person can't find all the pieces. The bottom line is they put out 10 pieces, they can only find 9. One of them is gone. What happens now? What is the halacha? So it's very interesting. So basically the halacha is that a person has to search their house up and down and all around again until they find piece number 10. I mean, it certainly makes sense. You can't account for a piece of chametz in your house. Now, once they find piece number 10, hopefully, so then they're set. But once there's been a tampering with the chametz that a person put out, one could pose the question, maybe I have an obligation to check the whole house because maybe the 9 pieces that I found are not all the 9 pieces that I put out, if you know what I mean. In other words, where does it end? So it's very interesting because the whole obligation for Bedikas Chametz is the Rabbanon, is rabbinic in nature in the first place because the person is going to make a bittul. So then already you could be lenient. Safek lahakel. Now, that leniency doesn't mean you don't have to check at all because, excuse me, your whole goal was to rid your house of Chametz and there's a piece of Chametz unaccounted for. So you have to find that piece of Chametz. But as long as you find the 10th piece of Chametz, then you can stop. You don't have to keep on searching. If theoretically speaking, the obligation of Bedika was a Torah level obligation, and there wasn't going to be a bittul in the picture, then it would seem that you would have to check your entire house even once you find the 10th piece. Now let's go the other way. Let's say one checks for the 10th piece and they really can't find it. They really looked high and low. So then it seems if they looked high and low and then they checked everywhere there was to check, so maybe it got taken away and it's all you could do is try to find it. I mean, that's the best you can do. But if the 10th piece is unspoken for, you would have to keep on checking until you at least found the 10th piece. Okay. To move on to a totally different subject, what type of chametz is my problem when it comes to Pesach? In other words, we all appreciate that if I have my chametz in my home, that's my problem for Pesach. Let's say I have your chametz in my home. So if I have a Jew's chametz in my home, and I, certainly if I've accepted responsibility on the chametz, I have to be rid of that chametz. That's pretty self-evident. If nothing else, I don't want you to do averos either. There's a lot of discussion about it. That's pretty clear. Let's say it's a non-Jew's chametz. It's not even a Jew's chametz. It's a non-Jew's chametz in my house. What's the story? So there's a very, very interesting concept in halacha. It's from the Gemara. And that is that if I accept responsibility for chametz within my home, it is my problem on Pesach. And in vis-a-vis the halachos of Bal Yirah, Bal Yimatzei, the prohibition of having chametz in my ownership on Pesach, I would be in violation. So that means that if I have a non-Jewish neighbor who asked me 3 months ago, or certainly for that matter, a Jewish neighbor, who asked me 3 months ago to if they could keep some of their chametz, at the time we weren't using the word chametz, we were just saying food, in my downstairs freezer, and it was understood, you know, that it was my responsibility to make sure nothing happened to that chametz within reason, I got to get rid of that chametz for Pesach. I mean, practically speaking, what it means is I have to ask the non-Jew to take the chametz back. The whole way selling of chametz works is we make it abundantly clear to the non-Jew to whom we're selling the chametz that we accept no responsibility on that chametz and that if anything happens to the chametz, it's not the responsibility of the homeowners. If the homeowner is responsible for what happens to the chametz, that's a real problem. On the other hand, if a non-Jew had chametz in a Jew's house and it wasn't the responsibility of the Jew in any way, shape, or form, the Jew is fine. What I think is the most common application of this question that I've received over the years is every now and then people have different caregivers who come to help with things in the home, and maybe they're not Jewish. And let's say they normally bring their own food. And let's say one day of Pesach, they show up with chametz. Now, obviously, you have to keep the chametz very far away from the food in the house. You can't have mixing and things like that. but you're probably diligent about that anyway because presumably they're not keeping kosher. So if it's their chametz and not your chametz and you accept no responsibility on it, it's not your problem. And you don't have to worry about it. It's a very interesting thing. Just as a practical aside, that also means that they can't leave chametz in your garbage can on Pesach. So you have to really kind of talk things through with them. But the fact that there's a non-Jew on your property having chametz is not a problem as long as you very clearly do not accept any responsibility for the well-being and welfare of that chametz. Thanks so much for joining us. Have a wonderful day.